Hello and welcome to another broadcast. We are talking about the truth. I don't think there's anything more important than that. Stay tuned for our program. It is a fact that whatever we believe will dictate our behavior. If we believe unsound doctrine, it will be impossible to live our lives according to the truth. We read in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God would have all men to be saved and come under the knowledge of the truth. So we better believe the truth. Now the dictionary says the definition of believe is the acceptance of something as being true. Behavior, the dictionary says, is to conduct oneself in accordance with the accepted norms of a group. Well, the accepted norms of a group and the truth of the Word of God are not always the same. That's very obvious. In 2 Timothy 4, verse number 6, Paul the Apostle wrote these words. He said, "The time of my departure is at hand." Now, what would you do if you knew that your life was over? Maybe you had 2 or 3 days to live. What would be the last thing that you would do? It'd be something that'd be very important to you. Well, Paul the Apostle had some things that were very important to him. He wrote a letter to, in fact, he wrote two of them to Timothy, who was a pastor of the church there at Ephesus. And interestingly enough, when he wrote that letter, he named seven men who were influencing people with unsound doctrine. He said concerning the truth, it failed. They overthrow the faith of some. He said they resist the truth. And he named Hymenaeus and Alexander and Philetus. He named a couple of fellows that gave Moses problems, Jannes and Jambres. He said they were reprobate concerning the faith. He named Demas as having loved this present world. And then again, in the second letter that he wrote to Timothy, he mentions Alexander again. Now, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he went straight to the problem. In 1 Timothy 1, verse number 3, he says, "That thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." So here it is, the end of his life. Paul the Apostle is going to write a letter, and he's saying, you got to put a stop to those wrong influences. The pastor at Ephesus and the pastor at Crete, he wrote him as well in the book of Titus, they needed to deal with those who are influencing members in their churches. The dictionary says, to influence is to have the capacity to have an effect on the character development or behavior of someone. Now, there's those out there who will influence to do wrong. Galatians 5:7, Paul said, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" Who did that? Who influenced you? 2 Timothy 4:4 refers to those who would be turned to fables. They would be turned from the truth by the influence of the teachers of unsound doctrine. Somebody's going to turn them. Hebrews 12 and verse number 13 refers to those who would be turned out of the way. 2 Peter 3:17 warns us, "Beware lest ye also be led away." Colossians 1:23 says, "Be not moved away." Don't let anybody move you away from the hope of the gospel. Malachi 3, way back in the age of apostasy in the early days of Israel, Malachi 3:8, he said, he talked about those that cause many to stumble. Now, unlike the days of Timothy and Titus, today we have influences from around the world that can overthrow the faith of some. Pastors need to take their God-given responsibility to be sure those promoting unsound doctrine do not influence the people in their churches by creeping in unawares using today's technology to do it. As you look into the scriptures, there's two types of people who are going to promote apostasy in this age in which we're living. The book of Jude deals with apostasy that is the result of the influence of unsaved people. He refers to them in Jude 1 and 3 as ungodly men. Verse 8, he said, they're filthy dreamers, And in verse 13, he says, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Unsaved people promoting apostasy. Unfortunately, though, in the book of 2 Peter, we find Christians who will promote apostasy. 2 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse number 1 says, I quote, there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Listen to this now. Even denying the Lord that bought them. That word bought has been translated redeemed three times. Even denying the Lord that redeemed them. Well, here we are, living in that age of apostasy when what was prophesied here is coming true. We have our so-called fundamental movement that is plagued with men teaching the damnable heresy that repentance is not necessary for salvation. Now, we've already seen that Paul the Apostle just named some men, said, that young pastor there at Ephesus, he said, Timothy, you better let your people know who they are, or they are going to be influenced by them, and that's not according to sound doctrine. You better let them know who they are. Well, should we do that today? Well, it's what it's written here for. Some years ago, Jack Hiles was the pastor of First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, decided that Jesus and his disciples and all those who preached in the New Testament and those trustworthy preachers for the past 2,000 years did not know what they were talking about when it came to the subject of repentance. Hiles said, repentance, as it has been taught, is an enemy of soul winning. Well, many puppet preachers decided that Jack knows more about it than Jesus does, so they started preaching Hiles' damnable heresy, and the majority of those who call themselves fundamentalists today remain strangely quiet about this heresy. Anybody else get on this bandwagon of unsound doctrine? Yeah, Curtis Hudson did of the Sword of the Lord. He also promoted the heresy that Hiles put forth, and he even put out a new hymn book, and in the hymn book they changed the words that had anything to do with repentance. He also removed a paragraph of one of Spurgeon's messages that he printed in the Sword that made a reference to repentance. He took that out. And when the alarm was sounded by a few faithful Christians, the result was a sickening silence rather than exposing the promoters of this damnable heresy. Well, the fact is that anybody who does sound the alarm against this false teaching, they are written off as someone with a bad spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 3 deals with exposing heretics and the heresy that they are promoting. And right in the middle of the chapter, the Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 12. Interesting that verse is found in the middle of the chapter that says we are commanded of God to expose heresy. And there's no worse heresy than changing the plan of salvation as they have done and saying, don't worry about what Jesus said. You don't have to repent in order to be saved. Well, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And in case we didn't get it, he said it 2 seconds later. In another verse, he said, nay, I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Well, another example we have today of an international influence that's going against the scriptures is Clarence Sexton and his outreach ministry that he calls Baptist Friends International. He claims on his website to have 16,447 Baptist friends. Now, the dictionary says a friend is a person who acts as a supporter of a cause. Interesting. Well, Fairhaven's Baptist Church in Sarnia, if you go on Sexton's website, you'll find us listed there as one of his friends. Now, I've asked him several times to take our name off that list, but it has not happened. Well, you know, we are not one who supports the cause, so don't consider us your friend. Canada, there are several churches in Canada that are on the list that are mentioned several times, two or three times. Same church is mentioned again and again. Got to get that list up to 16,447 somehow. I got to wonder if Canada doesn't have a lot of fundamental churches that compared to the United States. Got to wonder if there's so many repeated in Canada, in our little place, how many were repeated in the United States in order to get the numbers up. Well, Sexton has some friends, and he has his Baptist Friends International, and recently in one of his Baptist Friends International meetings, he featured his friend, Jack Scopp, who was the pastor of First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. Prior to Jack Scopp coming and preaching at Sexton's meeting, he wrote a book. It's entitled Marriage, the Divine Intimacy. In that book, he compared having communion with sexual relationships. Now, that is an absolute perverted view of Scripture. Galatians 1:7 says some would pervert. Well, that's okay. You got a big church there, Jack Scopp in First Baptist in Hammond, and we don't care if you preach a little heresy. Come on over and be one of our friends, because we got to have friends if we're going to accomplish world evangelism. And so it doesn't matter what you believe. And so while Jack Scopp, while he was the pastor of First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, writing a book on marriage, the divine intimacy, but then they caught him having sex with an underage teenager. He's now in penitentiary serving time for that. And so as a result, they bring in a new pastor, and then they bring in David Gibbs to come in and have a meeting and have some damage control back here on August the 8th. 2012, and he comes in and they're clapping and having standing ovations at least five times for the people that have covered up the immorality at First Baptist Church in Hammond for the last 40 years. And just think, we call all this fundamentalism. In Galatians chapter 2, verse number 5, Paul mentions about false brethren, and he says he gave place to them, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now, that word hour has been translated time 11 times in the Bible. No, not for a time. We are not giving place to those who are promoting unsound doctrine. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 14, Peter was publicly exposed because of his influence, where he was taking Jews away, the Bible says, and even Barnabas was being led away by Peter, and they were promoting things that were against the truth. And they had a very uncomfortable local church meeting that day when Paul publicly exposed Peter. Now, Peter, as we mentioned before, was a great friend of Paul's. Paul went to Jerusalem. He spent 15 days with Peter one time. They were friends. But that doesn't matter whether they're friends or not. You are going to have to go with the Word of God or you'll be a compromiser. Well, Galatians 4:16, after Paul spent so much time exposing those who are promoting unsound doctrine, he said in Galatians 4:16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And the answer to that question is yes. 2 Timothy 4:16, we read that no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. You're going to preach the truth? The Bible says buy the truth and sell it not. If you're going to buy the truth, it is very, very expensive. You might find yourself standing alone, but not quite alone. In verse 17, after he said, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, he said in verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood by me. Now, you'd better have the Lord standing with you than your compromising friends.